Hey, I'm Scott Hanselman. This is Azure Friday. We're here with Dan Rosanova, and we are talking about event hubs. Now we're scaling out. We're going to read the events that have been ingressed, been taken into our system.
Yeah, and I actually still have the last program running to send more.
Okay.
So we won't run out of them while we're here.
Oh, it's in the background just doing stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So I did put the for loop in that you mentioned. So now we actually, so Event Hub is a great tool. It's very powerful, but having a partition consumer model isn't a free lunch. You have to do a little bit more work as a reader to be able to coordinate who's reading from where and what's all going on. So we've actually created an intelligent agent to do that for you. And it's one more assembly in the NuGet that you pull down into your project, and it will handle scale out and load balancing and partition management all on your behalf.
Is it a separate NuGet or is it in the one that's
already
there?
A separate NuGet.
Okay.
So I'm actually going to add that to this new console application that I've got right now. And it's called Event Processor Host.
Will I find that if I search for Service Bus?
No, I'm not sure if you will.
We should make it so we can.
Yeah. If you don't, you will by the time this airs.
Nice.
So it's on here. It's a separate NuGet. We publish this one regularly as well, as you can see a few days ago. And so this has a message pump and a lot of things inside of it that are just going to make writing a consumer.
Well, I see OData going by, I see EDM going by, I saw JSON go by.
Oh, there's a whole bunch of stuff in here, yeah. And what's going to be great is how easy this makes this all look. So I'm going to add my two, actually it's still just one using directive. Oh, I want to do messaging. And
do people typically put JSON in their messages, or what kind of things do people put in there?
I do see a lot of JSON. It depends on your use case. Actually, I'd say JSON is probably the most popular for one of the two most popular for application telemetry, and byte packing is literally the most popular for IoT.
Just making up a format and packing it up into bytes.
As small as you can get it for a lot of people. Yeah.
That's well, I guess so. If you have a small IoT device, that would be a totally appropriate.
Yeah, because if you're delivering over like cellular or some metered network where you're paying, that you get very concerned about how big stuff is. So now that we have this here, in order to use this great agent we're giving you, you do have to do a little bit of work. And the main thing you need to do is that you need to create a class that's going to be your event processor. So you're going to tell us what do you want to do with events when they come in. So I'm going to create a class called my event processor. And it has to implement an interface called iEventProcessor.
Okay.
iEventProcessor is in that in the service bus assembly. And if I come here and implement this interface, it's not a very complicated interface, as you can see. It's
open, close, process.
I'm guessing you can. You can probably guess what all three of those.
Maybe you haven't heard. I'm actually an expert at this now because open and close process, pretty straightforward, and of course it's all async.
Yes, we did it right here because this is the scale out piece, so it's only async. What I'm just going to do is make these all actually return something. So I'll have them return task from result and just do.
Do I need to do anything interesting in open and close?
No. You probably want to. And in particular, especially on close, you definitely want to do some housekeeping to keep track of where you were. And we'll get into seeing how this works. And you'll use the partition context to do that. To keep track of where you are and what you've accomplished. Because as autoscale happens in this, the next reader is going to start from a previous checkpoint that gets saved for you. So,
and you keep track of your bookmark?
You're supposed to. If you write your own, you have to. We actually give you that capability in here.
Oh, nice.
Yes. And speaking of that capability, I suppose I do need to do something to use this. And I'll fill this out. I don't need to do anything for close, just because this is a demo for open. I'll also make it return, but I'll actually write out just a little bit of information here. So partition.
I see, and you're going to pull that information off the context.
Yes, and so the context will tell me what partition this is, and it will allow me to do some checkpointing and do a couple things. So
I suppose that my client-side event processor here really can store those bookmarks and things really wherever they want to.
Yes.
I might have a little database or anywhere.
You could, but what we're going to do actually, part of what makes this so good is that's definitely a way to do it. And if you write your own, you have to do that. But this is actually going to use storage for you on your behalf. We have to give it a storage connection string, and it will store that in there.
So you said, when I write my own, I feel like I'm writing my own now, but you're saying that I'm standing on the shoulders of giants.
There are between 5 and 10,000 lines of code here that are doing stuff for you. That's okay. Quite sophisticated.
Okay, so I'm not really writing my own here.
You're writing what you need to actually process the events.
I see.
So we've taken care of the plumbing, and nice. This is an effort to make it as quick to market with what you're trying to do, so you can focus on what you're doing, not the plumbing, to get it done.
Yeah, I like to say that the administrivia is being done for me.
Like,
it's important stuff that everyone's got to do, but I don't have to do that because that's not my business that I'm in.
Exactly. So then I suppose I had already mentioned this. The other thing I am going to need, I'm going to need a storage connection string. So I'm just going to go into some storage account in here. Thank you. And pull off a connection string. Let's use this one.
Mm-hmm.
So this is
just the access key to a blob that you're going to...
I don't want to regenerate.
You don't want to do that. You'll break all sorts of stuff.
Yes, I will.
No one can see the whole thing. Don't worry.
Oh, okay. So now that I have my connection string, I'm actually going to come over into Visual Studio and set up another static variable for it. And this is now when the rubber's going to hit the road here. So.
Okay.
String storage.
Is the storage string just storing a little bit of data?
It's the full. You mean storage?
On the event processor, is it just kind of like
the
context?
Container.
It's just information, like the stuff that's going to eventually go in there. It's my bookmark, and it's my...
Yes, it's a bookmark per partition. It's a JSON file that's actually created. But there's one other sneaky thing that we do with this, and that's that we use storage leases to do lease management and work distribution between multiple readers. So that way we can have a controlled access, so only a single computer or thread will read from a particular partition at a given time.
So are you saying you're using storage as a lock file?
In effect, not really as a lock, but it is as a lease. It's slightly different, but fundamentally the same.
Interesting. Yeah. I guess a lock would be kind of an ignorant way for me to say it. Like, it's not a precise word. Lease is the correct word.
Yeah, it's not as precise as a lock necessarily, but we do some stuff in here to make sure that there's only one reader at any given one time for a particular partition within a consumer group.
Okay.
All right. And now to use this class is actually really easy as well. I mentioned it's called Event Processor Host. I'm going to create a host, new Event Processor Host. Next one down.
All right.
And it wants a few different things. It's going to want a host name. Yeah, I suppose I'm going to make my life easier for the rest of this and just make a new random number generator.
Oh, yeah? Why is that?
This is an important one. We've had some support issues with this, too. This is supposed to be the name of this machine. But if you give it a hard fixed value and then you scale out, each machine will think it's that machine. So this is the name of this specific host.
Why don't you just say environment.getMachineName?
Because in a minute, I'm going to run two versions of this on the same machine.
Simulating multiple readers for multiple machines.
Exactly.
Makes sense.
And I know that would cause a problem, and I don't want to...
See? Yeah. You're a wise man. That makes total sense.
All right. And give it a name. The next one is it wants the path, the event hub. What that really means is the name.
Mm-hmm.
I have a variable here for event hub name.
Okay.
It wants a consumer group name, and I can actually use... I have some choices here. You know what? I'm going to show the right way to do this, and we're going to make a consumer group for this.
I would definitely prefer you show the right way to use it. The important thing is that this is documentation, so we're giving hopefully the people who are watching a good place to jump off and dig into the documentation, which is quite extensive.
And this is a feature that we just released, this UI for this, just last week, so it hasn't been as documented as it probably should be. So
okay, well now
this will be a good place to do it. And I'm just going to call this consumer group reader.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have to go create it in the portal in a second, but I'll put it here just so we have it. And then here's where we get to the connection strings.
Okay.
I need my connection string to the event hub. And I need my connection string to storage. And I created that as well. And now that I've created this, this is the construct that's going to do all this reading for us. And now I need to tell it about my reader, the class that I created earlier, that I want to actually do the reading.
Okay.
So all I have to do on that is go to my host, and I can do register event processor async. It takes a type. That type is going to be my event processor. And I'm set. And that's all I have to do.
Do you have to say start, or does it start immediately? It
starts immediately. And I'm going to do a read line here so this doesn't exit out. And if I could type right. And that way we can watch this actually run through and read stuff.
Now, to be clear, go back to process. All we're really doing here is
nothing at
writing
this point.
It out. What are the kinds of things that I would do in a real world?
Absolutely. So normally what I would do is just iterate over this enumerable of messages. I'd check for it being null, because there's actually an option where you can force this to be called, even if there are no messages, just if you want to do a timeout sort of thing. Usually what you would do here is, this is where you start to get into stream processing. Since you can get data localization off a partition, meaning that a specific sender's data is always in one partition, this makes it really easy to do things like a moving average. So the important thing is that this class that I created, each partition is going to get an instance of this class instantiated just for it. So all the data will be in that place for that reader. So I can make some good assumptions here about thread safety that you're being given for free. So I don't need to do thread interlocking, you know, or thread safe collections in order to do my processing here.
And so that really focus on the problem rather than the details.
And also it really facilitates scale. Because if you do have to do thread locking and thread safe collections, you're just going to slow down over time. You know, it's more overhead. You're just not going to get the pure scale. And this product is all about pure scale.
Nice. Okay.
All right. So I did mention that I need to create a consumer group. I will go into my Event Hub. I will do that just because I made one and it's such a nice UI and I have a debt to the engineer who made it for me. So I can click on Create Consumer Group. And I think I called this, did I call this reader or read? Reader.
Reader.
Yep. And that's all I do. And what consumer group really means is, that, and actually, so you can see on the UI in the background, the messages that I've been sending in are already piling up.
Oh, well, yeah.
So
did you stop?
No.
You sent in 2,300 messages.
Yep. And that's just one synchronous loop. So and put it in async, it'll go really, really fast.
Yeah, really.
So the consumer group is really sort of like a view. It's like a view to an underlying table, and you want everyone reading to use a separate view. So we might have partitions, things like this, but all they are is a parallelization mechanism. If I want to take this data and write it to blob storage, for instance, I really want to use a consumer group just for that. And then if I want to do some sort of alerting or real-time analytics, I really want to use a separate consumer group for that. It's trying to make simple links in the chain, not some sort of long, complex, you know, serial process or sequential process.
Okay.
Okay, and then the last thing I'm going to need, did I grab my storage string? You know, I don't know if I did.
Yep, no. Your storage string's at the end there.
So I've put my connection string in my clipboard, and now I'm going to paste it into my storage connection string. And now when I start this up, what I should actually get is my command line program registering listeners or readers for all of these partitions. This is going to take a little bit of time because the leasing and all the stuff that's going on in the background, so it's kind of a slow ramped up start. That's going to be different than Qzer topics.
But this one's still going.
Yeah, this is the publisher.
So if you put them next to each other.
Yeah, the publisher is just sending away blindly.
So that's sent thousands of messages so far.
Yeah, I told it to stop at 100,000.
Okay. And this one has now opened up 8 partitions.
Yes, and so these are actually actively reading on each one. And we'll stop and look into this real quick. I will turn this off, but you can see I put in a write out just so you could see that 8 listeners actually opened up. And what I'll actually do now is start up a second instance of this.
And that also gets to to your point that you didn't have to go and fire up 8 threads and deal with all of that administration yourself.
Yes, and they're running independently. And actually, if I put a write out for the close, you can see the one on the left already got one partition. So I haven't written out the closes yet, but that one opened, so it means this one actually closed. It's partition 0. And over time, I can see it now, it got a second partition. It's a greedy algorithm, and they're both trying to get as much as they can. Within a minute or so, they'll stabilize it at 4 each, probably.
Really?
Although it's not so completely deterministic, so it could be 5 and 3, but it'll rebalance.
The whole thing is optimized to get it done.
Yes. And so what happens there is, you mentioned state. Each of those streams, each message in here, and let's go look at a specific message, I suppose, has this concept of an offset. And the offset is, where am I in this stream right now?
Maybe just drop a breakpoint.
Yeah, and we'll be able to look
at it. There you go, you're right there.
Messages that retrieved one message, and if I look at the raw message, I can see an offset. So that offset, and I guess a better one is the sequence number, mm-hmm. is what is my sequential number of this? The offset's actually a storage offset, so it's related to how big your messages are. But what I need to keep track of is where am I in this offset? So when I start reading, do I want to go back to zero, meaning the beginning, mm-hmm. or do I want to keep track of where I was? And this allows you a channel to be able to say when the failover comes between these two different nodes, just keep reading at this place, not mm-hmm. all the way back, which could be days in the past.
Can't that offset get up to 2 billion or many billions?
It gets huge, yes.
And then flip over the size of a long?
Or? The offset will flip over the size of a long. The sequence will not. Well, mm-hmm. it could, but I mean, long's a really big number.
Yeah.
So since that one's sequential, you'd have to be sending for a long, long time.
Very cool. We're digging into scaling out Event Hubs here on Azure Friday.